I don't know about you, but I think, I believe and think that the internet should be a safer place. Well, what if I told you that there's a tool that can do just that? A safer internet where you don't have to monitor every single thing that your kids do or that you stumble across, whether it's a fake site or not a fake site. This tool is called BlockP. It blocks adult websites, but also blocks those fake websites that you might say, hey, this domain is for sale, and hackers try to hack all that information or try to scam people out of the information. It also protects, and it uses AI to protect against other malicious stuff and other garbage that people may stumble across the web. And you know, I thought to myself the other day, why is the internet not a safer place? Well, it's because there's money involved, and some kind of certain content drives more money. Everything has to do with money. And what I like about this tool is that it uses AI to built into the tool, so there's no false positives, and it's the only tool that lets you password set a Chrome extension or even or an Android app settings, etc., so you can bypass it easily. Give it a try. Go to BlockP and download on Google Play or iOS or in your web browser on whatever web browser you use, and let them know what you think of the tool. They always listen to your feedback, etc. Great company, and they have great things ahead of them, etc. Take them out. Take a test one, check it out. It's free, and let me know what you think. And it's called BlockP. Go check them out.
Thanks to our sponsor. This episode of Crazy Fitness Got a Healthy Living podcast was created using Podcastle. Podcastle is truly the easiest way to start your podcast. You can record remote interviews in studio quality sound. Editing is a breeze with a super intuitive and user-friendly audio editor. You can take advantage of their powerful AI tools like Magic Desk to optimize audio levels and remove background noise with just a single click. And I also use Podcastle to automatically transcribe my episodes, which not only lets me share the final transcript with all of you, my listeners, on different channels, but it even allows me to use their text editor to clean up any of the episode content I don't like, and I'll correspondingly edit the audio accordingly. Podcastle is amazing, all-in-one platform to create your podcast or any audio and video content. Give it a try at podcastle.ai. That is podcastle.ai.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge, big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year.
Get ready to unleash your inner awesomeness with the Crazy Fitness Guy Show. Hosted by Jimmy Clare, renowned professional keynote speaker, podcaster, and autism advocate, this show is all about embracing what makes us unique. Join Jimmy as he shares inspiring stories, experiences, and expertise to motivate and educate. Make sure you follow our show so you never miss a brand new episode. now let's dive into the show.
Weekly Motivation. That has been listened to all over the world. Listen to our podcast on all the major platforms. Tune in to listen and watch every week. We cover everything that is healthy living. We promote healthy living through autistic eyes. Hosted by Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker and autism advocate, Jimmy has been featured in many publications around the world. This is the Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast, such Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Before we get started, and I forgot to do this like the last two shows, but anyway, if you want to follow me at social media, you can follow me at Jimmy Clare Speaker on Facebook and Instagram, and Jimmy Clare Speaker on Twitter. You can follow Crazy Fitness Guy on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Crazy Fitness Guy. Make sure you subscribe to the Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy on Twitch, YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and maybe a new vibe sub if they let me back on live streaming. I don't know. They're on the new management, and they're all a bunch of crazy people over there. And I have to get kind of crazy. And once this episode goes live, you can listen to it on Apple, Google, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcast. And let's just dive into the show today. Today's guests are Jeremy Grader and Zach Tucker. They're the founders and hosts of the Fitness podcast for nearly a decade. They have pushed themselves to learn more about their own physical, emotional, and mental health. This has created a passion for using their acquired knowledge to help others. As hosts of the show since 2017, they have had the opportunity to speak to a wide range of guests, including some of the biggest names in health and wellness. I feel jealous. I want some big names in health and wellness. I should start collaborating with them. Ooh, that'd be really fun. I should go hop on their show. So let's welcome them out, and maybe they'll give me some tidbits here. And yeah, well, make sure you can see what they have to say. Oh. Hey, Zach. Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, Jimmy. We're here, man. We're the big names you've been waiting for. We finally made it.
Woohoo! So before we get started, can you tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, how you got started, and why you got started?
Sure. So we have lived a life that was a struggle and, you know, relative struggle for each of us. And we got through it. I mean, we can talk in more detail about that. But, you know, a lot of the things that Jeremy and I went through in our lives was really hard and took a lot of resilience to get to where we're at. And, you know, when we got to our, I don't know, what, mid-30s, we kind of looked at each other and we're like, hey, we're still trying to improve. We're still trying to be better people. We're still, you know, what are you doing? What am I doing here? How, you know, we're having these really vulnerable conversations with each other about how we've struggled our whole lives and how we've gotten to a place where we're, you know, pretty good. And we really, you know, we found that it was really helpful for us to have those conversations. And then we realized that nobody was having those conversations in, you know, in the men's world, right? And men weren't really talking about their feelings and vulnerability and what they're struggling with and the things that they were doing to get better. So Jeremy had been in podcasting for years and years and years and years, and I had been telling people what to do for years and years and years and years and years. And I was like, well, this is a really good combination and marriage of two skill sets. So I told him that we should do a podcast on vulnerability and all of these things. And he looked straight into my eyes and was like, heck no, not doing it. Next, please. And I'll let him take over from there.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, I didn't feel like I was anyone qualified to tell anyone else how to live their life or to give advice. You know, the other podcasts I'd been doing were largely just, you know, getting really drunk and telling stupid stories about, you know, my failures in life. So it was a hard 180 to figure out how do I, you know, share this growth journey that I'm on in a way that's helpful for somebody else without any sort of credential or training or anything. But, you know, the more we talked about it, the more we realized the conversations we were having with each other were incredibly helpful. The things he was telling me were helping me. The things I was telling him were helping him, and just sort of realized, hey, if we can help each other, why not put this out, you know, put these conversations out for someone else. And, you know, hopefully it's the thing they need to hear, the way they need to hear it at the time they need to hear it, to make some changes for a better life. And that's really where the show launched. And we've been going strong ever since.
I love that a lot, especially because sometimes when I feel when I made this show, I'm thinking, sometimes I feel like I'm not qualified because I don't have all these amazing credentials that everyone else has. I had some people on my show who had like, some of them had like 8, 9, 10 different degrees in the background, and all I got is what you see on the screen.
Right.
I was like, it's not that it's not impressive, but I'm like, okay, here's a good person who's really good at what they do, and all I got is a bunch of publications. And it's like,
but you're also an expert in your own life and your own experience, and if that's what you're sharing, nobody knows more about it than you. Like, you can read all the books in the world, but nobody's lived your experience the way you have, and that's what makes you an expert. And if you've found things that help you and improve your life, who better to hear about that than from you?
Exactly. Yeah. And that's what I based the show off of, sharing some from my point of view, but then I also have the experts to fill into the other stuff, because as I can't possibly know everything. I'm not like Google, and even they don't know everything either.
I would even add that, like, the lack of degrees or certifications does not make you unqualified. To Jeremy's point, like, your life has qualified you in certain ways. So, and I'll throw it around the flip side too. Those people with degrees and certifications does not necessarily mean they're qualified either, right? It's all individual and, you know, perspective, and, you know, things that I say to one person will land differently on who's receiving the information. So, you know, I would even argue, like, degrees don't make you qualified or unqualified, or the lack of them don't make you qualified or unqualified.
I think the only time where I would say, I mean, I would say the only time, but the type of people that really, I would say, as long as you're not doing open heart surgery and you don't have enough, and if you don't have a degree, that's a problem, but.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of what we do too, like, especially on our show is, you know, we're not telling people what to do, right? We're, you know, we have disclaimers and all kinds of things on our show. We really talk about things that have helped us, things that haven't helped us that might help the next person. And I think one of the biggest bits that we talk about on our show and when we talk to other shows is curiosity. So, like, what, you know, if I mention the keto diet or, you know, something along those lines, we don't expect somebody to just go out blindly follow it. Like, we really want them to be curious about what the keto diet is, how it's going to impact them. Is it right for them? Is it wrong for them? Like, curiosity of yourself is probably one of the, you know, everyone asks us, what's the one thing that we can do to change our lives? Be curious. Just be curious. So absolutely. It's not open heart surgery. We're literally just going, hey, maybe eat a little different. Hey, maybe go for a walk. Hey, maybe do this. And if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. So you're absolutely right. It's not open heart surgery.
So my next question for you guys are, why do you think some men are not willing to be open and talking about their feelings and mental health? Because obviously it exists in all of us. And there's some people who, like I know, who's like, oh, talking to a therapist is weird. I'm like, it's not that weird. What they're trying to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think for guys especially, it's how we're raised, right? I mean, I do think this is shifting in current generations, but I know in mine, you know, I heard toughen up more than once, right? Like the idea of having feelings, crying as a guy, like having emotions was not something that was necessarily welcome. Or if it was, it wasn't taught in a way that was productive. So I've had to really sort of unlearn all of my stigma around it. I was exposed to therapy pretty early on as a kid, and always found it really helpful, because when you realize that therapy isn't somebody going in and altering anything about you, it's largely them holding up a mirror and reflecting back everything you say to them, so you can sort of hear it in a different way. For guys especially, I know I'm talking about myself, we spend a lot of time in our heads trying to, like, analyze, figure out, solve, you know, problem solve. but we don't actually say the words out loud. And literally just saying the words out loud, your brain hears it differently and solves the problem differently. So if you can not only have your brain hear you say it differently, but have somebody else hear what they, you know, reflect back what they hear when you say it, it just helps you process that same information that you spin about in your head over and over again into something more productive. And so it's cultural. It's just the way it's kind of always been. But I do think that there's a lot of promise and there's a lot of shifting happening toward, just the fact that you and I are having this conversation right now, that there is space for three guys to get together and talk about, you know, what it's like to have these feelings and to have to struggle with sharing them, just shows that there is more of an opening and an awakening to this as a normal thing, so that guys can have a full human experience and not be expected to be, you know, productivity robots.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash. You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
I also, even if somebody didn't want to talk to a therapist, like, go roll in karate, go punch something. I always find some good ideas when I'm punching a bag a few times.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of somatic therapies like that. Like, I believe that a lot of like the depression and anxiety and the mental health struggles that we have are literally stored energy in our body that is just trapped and needs an outlet. So hitting a bag, screaming, punching a pillow, there's a lot of different therapies that I've used. Like, I mean, things like, even like yoga, weightlifting, like anything that moves your body and challenges it and stresses your muscles, really just helps release that energy and move it through you in a more productive way, rather than just hanging on to it and letting it, you know, create stories about how horrible you are, how, you know, you're catastrophizing everything that's going to happen in your life. If you find a way to harness that energy and really move it, that's where, like you said, those best ideas and progress really comes from.
So I had to ask Zach this. Just curious, has anyone ever told you you look like a movie star somewhere?
Yes, I actually hear it quite a bit. It's happening more and more. I was actually at a concert back in a couple of weeks ago, and they were convinced that I was just standing on the floor, and like the people around me, I was there by myself, so I didn't have anyone with me. They were convinced that I was a late night talk show host. I've been referred to as Kevin Bacon before. There's a guy in Ally McBeal that people talk about all the time. So it happens a lot.
I can't tell you how many times I'm at home watching a movie with my wife and she'll go, God, that guy looks like Zach.
I just had to bring it up because like somebody once said to me that I look like Matt Damon, and I said,
oh, I can see that.
I was like, I'm the poor Matt Damon. I have nothing.
Like, it's funny you said Kevin Bacon though, Zach, because literally we were watching Footloose the other night, and Cheryl's like, God, Kevin Bacon looks like Zach.
Yep, heard that one a few times.
What about Damian Lewis?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, maybe. Maybe. I haven't heard that one. But no.
Add that to your list.
All right.
So my next question for you guys are, how can men start sharing more of their feelings openly to either each other or to their partners or, I don't know, girlfriends, whatever they're interested in?
How do you convince them? Is that what you said?
No, I mean, how can they start, like, how can they start opening it up that, for a conversation instead of just being up here all the time?
That's a good question. If we had the answer to that.
Well, I think we do. I mean, when, I mean, just our conversations, right? I mean, you start with the friends you're closest with, right? For us, Zach and I were on a very similar journey. The reason we met was because our wives were pregnant at the same time. And so we were, you know, involved in these fitness activities that our wives were doing. And so we got sort of roped into it because, you know, if they're friends, then we had to be friends. And, you know, we had a lot in common because we had a lot of the same fears and stresses about what was coming down the road as new parents. So you got to find the people that you share some commonality with as, you know, to begin with. And then start testing the waters, right? I mean, for us, it wasn't like, hey, Zach, what happened to you when you were six, right? It was, you start with talking about the game because that's what everybody talks about. And then maybe you float out to like, hey, so how are you doing with this? Like, how, you know, what's going on at work? Are you stressed as a dad? Like, kind of throwing those softballs out there to test the waters. And when it lands, then you know this is somebody who you might be able to go a little bit deeper with. But also, like, there's the people that are going to be turned off by that, and you're going to scare them away. For me, that's great. I like filtering out and knowing that I don't need to waste time trying to build deeper relationships with people that aren't ready for it and can't handle it. So you have to be willing to risk a little bit. You have to be willing to lose a little bit. But I mean, the safest way, honestly, is probably starting with like a therapist or someone who is an independent third party. That's somebody who is not going to bring judgment into the room. They're going to bring in, you know, a clinical lens and hold up that mirror and show you that you can say these things out loud and it's going to be okay. And once you've tested that and once you feel safe there, then honestly, a therapist will give you some more tools to expand even further into your normal conversations with people. But it's all just, it is risky. And you have to be willing to lose a little bit to gain, I think, so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll double down on the therapist part. I mean, there is, you know, patient client confidentiality too, right? I mean, the things you say in there are not going to leave the room, right? If you talk to a friend or, you know, someone like that, they're you know, if you're just diving into this, like, you know, that might be a concern. So definitely go talk to a therapist or a coach or somebody who's going to keep that information private until you're ready.
Like for me, I noticed that I have a couple of best friends who I tell a lot of things to, and there's certain other people who I just say that I tell stuff to, but not as in detail, or I just keep them a little bit to a distance, just from some past experience. I'm not going to name any names just because some of them might listen to the show and I'm going to keep them guessing. Make them suffer.
That's right. The whole story or just a point?
I'm not going to say squat. I can again.
That's right.
They can call my lawyer.
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the people that you are keeping at a distance, it's going to be very individual. It's going to depend on that person. But I think a lot of us are craving vulnerability. We're craving connection, especially in this cyber connected world where these are most of the conversations we're having are over screens and we're not in the same room with people as much as we used to be. So, you know, I would test those waters, like kind of like, and maybe don't open up about you, but ask, right? Ask the other person, invite it from them so that they feel safe. Because, I mean, you know, you've done enough of these interviews, I think, to know that people love talking about themselves. So if you give them an opportunity to talk about themselves and what they're going through, you might be surprised how much they'll open up to you and make you feel safe going, oh, that's crazy. I have the same thing. I feel the same way. I go through that too. Mm-hmm. And that bond can be created. So, I mean, I wouldn't necessarily, you know, run down to the bus stop and just shouting at strangers about, you know, how you cry sometimes. But, you know, when you're hanging out with friends, ask them some questions about their feelings.
Is that frowned upon?
I think generally it's fun.
I could picture seeing somebody doing that. I bet you if I googled it on YouTube, I'm sure someone already has done that.
There's probably a very successful YouTube channel of somebody going to a bus stop and shouting their feelings at people. It's a very niche program that I think people would be really into.
Yeah.
Agreed. So my next question for you guys are, what kind of guests have you had on your show? Can you share some of those, I guess? Not like I'm stalking them or anything.
I mean, yeah, no, it's, I mean, it's all out there. We've had some pretty big names. We've had, you know, Ryan Holiday, Sean T, Dave Asprey, Gary John Bishop, Gretchen Rubin. I'm forgetting hundreds, Jeremy. Yeah, keep going.
Yeah, Tony Horton. You already mentioned Sean T. Greg Everett, a great Olympic training athlete and author. Just tons of people that we've been incredibly privileged to be able to, you know, pick their brains and have some personal therapy sessions with and learn from. So yeah, a long list. We've done 260 something episodes as of this recording, and you know, the vast majority of them are with guests. And so yeah, you can find them all on our website.
That's amazing, because like I just started. I'm currently almost up to 80 episodes at the moment. I release every month, once a month, only because I'm only one person. If somebody could clone me like six different times, the clones don't even need to even talk. I just point and just go do something.
Right.
I would definitely do, maybe if I could, but too much promotion, too many things to do for promoting everything else. I mean, not being lazy on it or anything, just being realistic. It's like, how do I maintain this going years to come?
Yeah.
Roughly, or do I do it weekly and burn myself out quickly?
Right. And that's a good lesson for anybody listening to this. I think a lot of us tend to overinvest ourselves in things that we don't necessarily have time for. So it's really important, I think, to have a look in the mirror and go, what am I really capable of doing here? Let's get real with this and take into account the fact that you do need downtime. You do need time to rest. You do need time to recover. You do need time for family and all the, you know, paying your bills and all the obligations. So there's absolutely nothing wrong with saying I only have so much time for this and drawing that line in the sand.
Yeah. I mean, we can speak from experience. When we started our show, I think we released once every 2 weeks, something like that.
Yeah.
And then we went weekly, and then we went twice a week, and then life happened and we're like, ooh, twice a week's a lot. Let's go back down to a week. And, you know, like, life gets in the way, and like, and we struggle sometimes to get that out there. But
yeah,
I would never clone myself personally, just simply because like people have
the world's got enough of you already.
There's already one of me that people have to deal with. Like six of me would be way too much. I wouldn't wish that on anyone.
Well, you know, I always think it'd be kind of cool if there were six of me, because then there could be like all different kinds of Jimmys. Whereas I'd be the original and then be some other kind of Jimmy too.
Just imagine how open and vulnerable you could be with those guys. I mean, nobody knows you better, right?
Exactly.
I feel like if I did that, like I'd get nothing done, because all six of me would fight with each other and be like, no, I want to.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge, big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's premium podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year. That's why they shouldn't need to talk at all. That'd be really creepy though, because then I remember there's some TV shows and some movies I've seen where they like have one episode of somebody just like clone themselves in the movie and they're just talking to each other. I was like, I feel kind of creepy just talking to myself. Hey, Jimmy, how are you doing? Oh, I'm good. What about the other Jimmy?
Well, sometimes I think it's creepier when we're doing one of these episodes by ourselves and I'm just talking to myself in a room by myself. I think that's a little creepier than talking to cloned versions of me.
Yeah, I used to, there was only one or two, okay, three episodes that I've done by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a reason why I have guests. I was like, I can't listen to myself talk.
That's enough of me. I've had enough of me. Fine.
Exactly. I want like a James Earl Jones voice or a Mike Rowe voice or some sort of better than my voice.
Yeah. Who doesn't want one of those voices?
My voice sounds like a nails on a chalkboard.
It doesn't.
But Darth Vader is the voice in my head sometimes. So I kind of live with James Earl Jones.
Yeah. Perfect. I can picture that for my brain too. Sometimes it's like in search of feelings. So my next question for you is, how did you start finding, what was it like to reach out to those kind of guests on your show? It was like, wait, you guys, a bunch of nobodies talking about your feelings? Or, like Rashawn T, Tony Horan, or...
I mean, I think it's similar to what I was talking about with being vulnerable. Like, you just have to take the risk, right? Like, the answer is no until you ask. And so you have to ask to even have a shot. So it's, at first you're a little nervous, like, oh, what are they going to reject me? What's going to happen? But in the end, like, if they reject you, what's different? The answer was no yesterday. If the answer is no today, cool. Like, I better come up with a way to make it a yes next time. So it's a learning lesson, right? Like, you just have to take the chance and put yourself out there and, you know, I mean, for any podcaster or interviewer who's wrestling with this, like, what's in it for them? Offer to them what value it brings to them. Like, what audience are they going to reach? How dedicated is your listener? You know, and the more you can make it about them and just take the risk and ask them, you'd be surprised how often they'll say yes. Because again, who doesn't love talking about themselves?
Mm-hmm.
I actually had two USA Today's bestselling authors yesterday on my show. It's not out yet, but what was really, really cool was, let's just say I've been reading the series that they were in, and it's basically, I really love the series, and when I got down to my shore house the other, a few weeks ago, I was like, you know what? I waited long enough. I still haven't finished all the books yet, but it's like, I'm going to reach out to them, see what they have to say. Mm-hmm. And just like what you said, and it's like, what are they going to do? Say no? I was like, okay. And I was like, but it's like, I want to feature them on my show to talk about their book. And I was like, I already showed interest in their book. And so I reached out to them. Within an hour, they reached back out to me. It's like, we would love to be on your show. I'm like, okay, I have goosebumps. And it's like, I'm kind of scared. I was like, I don't know.
And then, yeah.
What was amazing though is that they're like super, super nice. And like, holy crap. I was like, I wasn't expecting them to not be nice, but USA Today's bestselling author and Jimmy Clare, who's a nobody.
But are you? I mean, you do this show. People show up that you've created a relationship with them. So you bring value to people's lives just because you don't have a best-selling book. You know, I heard somebody talking about this, and I'm going to mess this up. This is me being vulnerable. I don't really know what I'm talking about, but somebody was talking about quantum theory the other day and how it translates down to even the small actions matter. So like whether you are the baker, the butcher, the guy that sells the shoe, or the president, or the USA Today bestselling author, whatever you're doing has impact on the universe on some level. So you talking to us right now is going to make an impact on somebody's life somewhere. And that can have a ripple effect that, we will never understand. So from the author's point of view, they probably spent years writing a book and somebody wants to ask them about it and they have an opportunity to sell a few more copies by doing it. Yeah, they're going to jump at that. Why not? So I think Jimmy, you've got a few limiting beliefs that are getting in your way of reaching new heights that there are just beyond your reach.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I would call it, I'm just trying to stay humble. It's because there's some people who, let's just say, I've seen over the years of either in the podcast industry, where there's like, oh, I know everything, and then they refuse to keep learning. And then where if I say, oh, I'm super big, and then somebody's going to find out, oh, I'm not really big at all. I'd rather be open and transparent and say, yes, I'm not Joe Rogan, I'm not Lewis Howes, I'm not Tony Robbins, but you know, it doesn't mean that I won't be there one day or another. It's like literally a podcast download could just take off and
you never know
instantly.
Yeah, you never know.
Unless there won't be a viral content TikTok video where somebody's doing something stupid.
I think we all worry about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, I don't want to do something stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, I maybe have said some stupid things on social media. Like, I mean, I'm not like too edgy stupid, but I mean, I might have put my own foot in my mouth a few times and I owned up to it. But it's like, I don't want to do something totally stupid.
But honestly, like, we get plenty of hate on TikTok. We get plenty of comments that, you know, insult me, call us stupid, call our opinions wrong or ridiculous. Like, cool. I'm glad they live in a world where they need to insult other people or to point out what they see as flaws in others. Again, we share our perspective. We're not wrong about our perspective. We're not wrong about our experience. So people can hate all they want. Cool. Good for them. That must be a really crappy way to live. All I'm trying to do is share my experience so that somebody else who is struggling the way I once struggled and still, you know, honestly do sometimes, if they can hear what they need to hear the right way at the right time to make a big change in their life, totally worth all of the morons on TikTok that, you know, want to spew their hate.
Yeah. And I don't care about coming off as stupid or doing something stupid necessarily, because the people who will judge me based on that are not the people I really want to be around, right? To Jeremy's point, the people who comment at us in a negative fashion, I hope they find what they're looking for. Yep. really do. But it takes no part of my brain or my conscience, the hate or, you know, negative things that they're spreading, because it just doesn't matter to me, right? To Jeremy's point, we are right. From our perspective, a certain point of view, right? If we're going to quote Star Wars, we are right. And there's nothing wrong with that. And Jeremy and I are open too. Like, if we believe something and we find evidence that's counter to that, we own up to it. We're okay admitting we're wrong.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I say do the stupid thing, because the people you want in your life are the ones who are going to support you and laugh even when you're doing something stupid.
So my next question for you guys are, what kind of struggles did you have to go through overcoming your mental health?
How about we list the ones I didn't have to
struggle? It's a shorter list.
let's do that then.
So for me, I run on the anxious side. Anxiety is, there's some evidence that it's a genetic trait. My mother was super anxious. I was also raised in a way that was super neglectful. 4, 5, 6 years old, I would be left at home for 4 or 5 days at a time. Just set up this ridiculous childhood trauma. And because of that anxiety, ran so high, there was a lot of depression involved. There was a lot of, there still is imposter syndrome. Like, I don't think I'm good enough. And I don't think, I was told my whole life that I'm stupid, and I'm actually fairly intelligent, but I still think I'm stupid. I still have these, you know, calls at work or conversations with people, and they're like, hey, that was really smart. Why didn't we, like, that's amazing. Like, you're a really smart guy. And I'm like, I got them fooled. Right. It's still there. So that's been my struggle my whole life, is really this anxiety. And it was so bad when I was, 22, 23, after I got through like the partying days, because, like, you know, give me a little alcohol, that anxiety went away. I was good then, but it was so bad in those early days that I couldn't really talk to people. I didn't like going to the grocery store because I had to be around people. What's that one, like that little kid that's like, uh-oh, people. That was me. That was all me. I couldn't have conversation. I had trouble having conversations with women, like males, like just across the board. Super, super, super bad anxiety. And it took years to you know, put in place all these little tools and techniques to tame it. And then even still, when I was 30, after I had been working on all these things to tame that anxiety, I was officially diagnosed. Like, they, you know, they ran me through this whole series of tests, and they were like, so here's the top of the scale for anxiety. You're way up here. And what I thought was totally normal, and I thought that I'd totally beaten it and gotten by, they were like, yeah, no, you're still an anxious ball and you need to deal with this stuff. So, and again, for the next 15 years, I've been doing meditation and making sure I'm moving my body and like all these things that deal with my anxiety, to the point where I still have really bad anxiety, but I don't think you'd ever be able to tell from the surface.
That's bad. And I've lived with depression my entire life. And right now I'm in the middle of the longest stretch of my entire life without a major depressive episode. I don't think I've had one since like November. And it's as a result of the tools that I put in place to manage it. I've been able to recognize that overwhelm is largely the trigger for it. When everything feels like too much, my system just shuts down and I cannot get out of it. And through a lot of different exercise routines, just different things I'm feeding my body, different mindsets, different, you know, tools like cold plunging and meditation, different things that I have in my toolkit, I can start to recognize it sooner and I can make more conscious decisions about the way I respond. Before, it would look like, you know, a tsunami wave that was just inevitable and I would just let it wash over me and wait until, you know, the seas receded back out into the ocean. And it would sometimes take days where I didn't want to leave my room. I just wanted to be in a dark space alone and not have to interact with anyone because I couldn't handle it. But now I can start to feel it coming. I can see the wave and I have the tools to either get in a boat, grab a life ring, or do something about it and prevent it from washing over me the way it used to. So, you know, I still certainly get down, right? Like I'll have bad days, bad feelings, and I'm able to better recognize that, you know, this feeling is a result of this trigger. There's something that's making me feel this way. And so rather than going, well, it's depression, here it goes again, I'm able to like rationalize, okay, this is a normal human response to be upset about this thing that happened. It's okay. It's going to be okay tomorrow. What can we do with this energy? Can we go to the gym and throw some heavy things around? Can we go for a long hike? Like, what can I do to manage it? So that's been the big one for me. You know, up until the point of having these tools, I certainly relied on alcohol to manage my feelings. You know, anything that felt uncomfortable, you just pour some beer on it and it goes away real quick. Social anxiety, I still deal with. I mean, to Zach's point about, you know, going to the grocery store, I still don't like going out where there's a lot of people because I'm nervous about talking to people because my thoughts don't always match up with the words that are coming out. The words are usually sort of the friendly small talk, the, you know, how you doing, what's going on with you, oh, what are you guys doing this weekend? And inside I'm just thinking, God, I hope they don't figure out what a fraud and a loser I am, right? Like there's this conflict. And so I still struggle with the anxiety part of that. And certainly just crowds and all that is too much traffic. I can't handle it anymore. So, I mean, there's tons of mental health stuff, but depression has been really my Achilles heel for most of my life. But I think I finally am at a place where I can relatively safely say I've beaten it.
I think for me, there's a few times where I went through depression back when I was getting bullied for 8+ years in public school growing up. And then when just recently I kind of fell into, I wasn't gonna say a depressive state, I was in a funk and I couldn't get out of it. I was like, no matter what I was trying to do, couldn't get out of it. I was like, what's it gonna take to get out of this annoying funk? Like everything was just like, I don't feel like doing this, I don't feel like doing that. It was like, I mean, it wasn't like I lost interest in stuff, but even editing the podcast was just like, I don't even want to listen to my own voice. Don't feel like marketing. Don't feel like doing this. Don't feel like the list goes on and on and on. When I was up to at karate 3 days a week, I was kind of like, Punching, and it's like wasn't part of that either. But because I was in a funk, I was not enjoying being in the present moment. All I was just thinking is like, what's tomorrow gonna bring? Blah blah blah. And what took me out of the funk was I attended this webinar by one of my colleagues, and the reason I'm not going to name his name is because, one, I didn't ask him, and two, in case if he doesn't do another event, I don't want to, like, it's like, oh, yeah, he does all these free events, and then somebody gets their hopes up, so I'm just going to leave it as that at the moment. But I attended one of his events, even though it made me miss karate, but I was like, I need to get myself out of this funk. And if I don't get myself out of this funk, I'm just going to keep doing the same thing over and over and over again. And I hate being on that hamster wheel that just keeps going on and on and on. And so finally, when I attended this event, everything that I was feeling right then and there, his event was about just like how to get more leads as a keynote speaker. And I was like, I want to do this for my career. I got to do this for myself. And it's like, I will always have more opportunities to go to karate, but to attend this kind of event, and it's like, and it was given for free. And it's like, and there's not many people that do that for free. There's always a free, but, and we'll try to sell you 6 million things at that event too. And so, and meeting him in person last year and staying in touch with him, he literally is the real deal. He's like Tony Robbins. He sells out. He's booked all over the place. Trying to get in touch with him sometimes to collaborate with is like pulling teeth sometimes. It's like, gosh, you're a busy person. It's like, one day you're gonna be in my shoes. It's like, I hope so, Dan. I really hope so. But his webinar kind of just got me out of the funk. And it wasn't like I wasn't trying any of the stuff that I learned from my therapist. Like I keep exercising 6 days a week. That kind of helps, but it was like just kind of masking everything. And then it was basically, then I, let's just say, I was feeling down because of like, I'm still kind of recovering from the pandemic, from the and now inflation with my business. So it's like, okay, I'm feeling down about this. How can I get? And so I was trying to implement new things for the business and implement this and implement strategies to pay myself back for all of the business expenses over the years. So I was like, okay, let's make this plan. Let's do this. Set some monetization goals in my budget app. But the webinar really helped me because it's like, knowing him, I don't see why it wouldn't work. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say it's bulletproof, but at least it got me out of the gosh darn funk. Me and funk do not get together.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard. I mean, it sounds like you were kind of stuck in your routine and there wasn't anything really shaking anything up. And sometimes you have to just make that intentional choice to do something out of the ordinary. Just your brain craves new things. We all get kind of sucked into the hamster wheel of, you know, working the 9 to 5 and then sitting in traffic if you're, you know, unfortunate enough to have to still go to the office. You know, you get home, it's kind of the same dinner, like same routine over and over again. Life can get kind of boring and kind of drag you down. So it was a good plan to see an opportunity of what can I do different? How can I disrupt this pattern and just try something different? And that's honestly a lot of what I do with the various tools I have. Is it's I'll be doing my routine, but I have other things that I don't do as much. And so I can decide, oh, maybe I'll throw that at it. Maybe I'll go run on a mountain today instead of, you know, going to the gym or whatever. And just like having that new experience is something to just kind of light your brain up in a different way and kind of shift your perspective on the opportunities you have in your life.
Yeah. And also I look at a funk, like a good funk, as a good thing, a really, really good thing. Because if you're having one, you really, for me anyway, I lean into it and I feel it and I really lock in that feeling of what it's like to be in that funk, because that reminds you later on of all the things that you're doing. So if you don't want to go to the gym, or you don't want to go talk to your therapist, or you don't want to go do this, or you don't want to go do that, you just remember that, like, I do these things consistently to prevent from being in that place. But it's inevitable. We're all going to have ups and downs, and you're going to hit that funk at some point. Well, when you do, get everything you can out of it. Feel it. Really, really remember what it is that you're feeling and why you do all the things to stay out of the funk. Like, it's inevitable, so why not use it for a positive? Like, it you know, squeeze the juice out of that as you possibly can.
And even if you don't, like, suffer from clinical depression, right? Like, but people still just get depressed. It's a normal human, you know, emotion. There was this great video I've seen a million times of Jim Carrey talking about depression and how he talks about, you know, the word depressed, and how if you break it down, it's deep rest. Like, your body's requiring deep rest. You get sort of tired of playing the character you play in your life all the time and wearing all the masks you have to wear, whether it's as podcast host or author or speaker or mom or dad or husband, whatever character you have to play. You get tired of playing that character. And so your body just kind of goes, we just need a break. And that break can be that rest, or that break can be a break from this routine and shaking it up and doing something different. But it's just very normal. And whatever you can do, like Zach said, soak it up, learn from it, feel it, so that when you don't feel it, you appreciate not feeling it even more. Or just give yourself the time to. I mean, honestly, that was what I often needed. I always kind of saw it as like a flu. You know, when I would get the flu, do I feel bad about myself because I got the flu? No, I got sick. What do I need to do to get better? I need to rest. So you rest, the wave passes, it goes away. You come back and you know, appreciate the ability to get out of bed and function and live a normal life in a healthy way. So just, you know, there's a lot of lessons to learn from it, right? It's like Ryan Holiday's book, The Obstacle is the Way. That's just one of those obstacles that life is trying to show you. This is something you have to get through to overcome to be even better tomorrow.
I like what you said, especially because during that funk, the few things I took away from it was that I did some marketing tests 7 days a week that, 5 days a week that didn't really need to be done that many times a week. And I was like, realistically, why is this still set 5 days a week, let us say? And I was like, that's pretty stupid. And so basically, I let myself have that whole day just to do absolutely nothing. Except for I did promise one of my colleagues who written a new book in a series, I had him on just to, because like, but I spent pretty much all morning, mid-afternoon, doing nothing. And I was like, if this is the only thing I do today, I'm going to enjoy the interview with him. To be honest, I'll admit this on the show, I didn't shower during that day, but I was like, no, you can't smell me through my computer. But I wore my hat. It's not like I, but it didn't look like I was sloppy or anything. It just that I had clean workout clothes on. It wasn't like, I had stains everywhere or whatnot. It's like, no, it just like my brain was just overwhelmed. I couldn't stand anything. I was like, I kind of just wanted to flip off everybody during that day. I mean, not that I did that. It just,
yeah. How does it? Yeah, it's like Tony Horton says, do your best and forget the rest. That day, that was your best. You showed up the best you could. Celebrate that, man. Like, we can't all be perfect. We can't all function at an optimized 100% success level all the time. In fact, I think it's probably pretty rare. So, you know, just striving for what's the best I can bring today, and yeah, just do your best to hit that. And you'll probably still fall short, but it's better to have that thing to shoot for and fall short than to just sit it out.
Yeah. Just to put numbers on it too. Like, if all you have in your tank is 50% and you give it that 50%, you've given it 100% of what you have. Like, and that's it. And be okay with that. Be happy with it. Some days I only have 2% to give.
And yeah, much to your point, like my other key takeaways was of the of that day, I revamped some of my schedule again, and it was like my fourth schedule revamp in the 7 years I've been in business. So I was like, okay, it's not like I do it every other week. I changed it. Out of the whole month, there's probably like 4 days of the month that is like very hectic, but as like 4 out of the 30 days, I'll take it. Screw it. I'm willing to take those numbers, but if I have to do it, fine. And some of these tests weren't that bad, but just my brain was just making it harder than it really needs to be. And it's like, oh, come on, it's just a copy and paste. And my brain's like, no, no, no. And it's like, oh, shut up, brain, what do you know? And it's like, the other day they gave me like the most dumbest idea ever. And I'm like, yeah, so much for you. So my last few questions for you are, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
Favorite podcaster? I think the one I go back to probably the most often is Marc Maron. I really like his vulnerability, his openness about his own struggles. And I think he's a great interviewer. So yeah, I've been a big fan of WTF for a long time. So Marc Maron's probably my go-to.
Boy, that's a really, really tough question. I mean, there's hundreds. There are so many.
While you're thinking, I'll throw one more name out. Neil Brennan's podcast, Blockers. Fantastic. He talks to, the celebrities we wish we were talking to about their mental health struggles and the things they go through. So check out Neil Brennan's podcast too.
I'm just looking through the list right now. I mean, there's, you know what? I do have a favorite that I know he's not really recording too many anymore, but, so I work in a company and in senior leadership. So like leadership is a big thing for me. I love leadership. And there's a guy named Jeff Atkin who does a leadership podcast, but based on episodes of Star Trek. So he like watches an episode of Star Trek and there's a leadership principle in there, and he picks apart the episode and teaches you the leadership principle by the episode. That one is amazing. I'd say Sean T's podcast is always a good one. Marc Maron, love that. The Anxiety Chicks, love those girls. And to be quite honest, I don't have time for the long Joe Rogan episodes. And I know Joe Rogan is a love him or hate him kind of guy. But at the very least, he is very curious about all the topics, right? And I do love that aspect about him, even though he has a very strong opinion on a lot of those topics. He is curious about them, and I love that ability that he has to kind of hit so many different topics on his show.
For me, I like Lewis Howes, The School of Greatness. I also... also, I like to listen to. I like a lot of self-improvement, leadership kind of stuff. I like a lot of fitness, nutrition as well. I pretty much subscribe to like 100+ podcasts. I mean, obviously, I don't listen to every single episode because not every single thing applies to me or that intrigues me, or because like one of them happens to be a marketing podcast, and it's like, oh, how do you get more leads with your ads? And it's like, I don't use ads. I mean, it's like I have ads on my website, but that's not ads for marketing ads on sponsored posts on Facebook and Instagram. So I was like, okay, it doesn't apply to me, not listening. But I might have a couple of 100 different podcasts to listen to. So if something intrigues me, I come across it versus which two do I listen to today? Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, and it's Slim Pickings. That's like me if I don't have a book, I'm like, I miss reading. What am I going to read next? I don't have any recommendations. They're dim. So my next question for you is, where can people follow you, find you, learn more about who you are and what you do?
The simplest place is our website. It's thefitmess.com, and we're on all the social media channels at Fitmess Guys. So check us out at either of those places and check out the show.
I'm definitely going to subscribe, and maybe one day I could be on your show too. Hint, hint.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Well, I look forward to staying in touch with you guys, and I would love to have you back on the show again in the future, because it was awesome meeting you guys, and I hope keep up the good work, and I'm going to subscribe to your podcast because I'm very interested to learn more about who you are.
Awesome. Thanks so much for the opportunity. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Have a good rest of your day.
Thanks, you too.
So that's all the time that we have today. If you enjoy it, subscribe, leave us a review. Let me know how we're doing. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated. And I'll be back for another brand new episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast / Weekly Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. In the meantime, peace.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of the Crazy Fitness Guy Show. If you enjoyed this episode, this leave us a review so more people can find us. In the meantime, use the links in the show notes to subscribe to our monthly newsletter, shop for swag, read blog posts, watch videos, and listen to the latest episodes. In the meantime, visit crazyfitnessguy.com to see what we are up to in between episodes. In the meantime, stay healthy, stay safe, and stay motivated.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle in my opinion because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask because it just sits on my desk and it just sits on my desk and reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Yeah. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so... which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you. Use the link below. And check out hydroflask.com for more information.